Well, good morning, everybody. I must say it's a real joy for Terry, my wife, and myself to be with you. And there's a lovely sense of the Lord's presence in this assembly. And that's what we love and enjoy, isn't it? We make no pretense. I love the presence of God. And I'm very blessed to be with you. I'm going to read to you this morning from the letter of James. James Epistle, chapter 5. A few verses. I'm going to read from verse 13. As I was asking the Lord what to talk about, I felt it appropriate to talk about healing from this passage. There are many places we could take, but this one in particular. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says this: Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Amen. I'm a pastor of a Pentecostal church in Christ Church in Dorset, and our church is part of the Elim Pentecostal Church. There are quite a lot of churches worldwide, Elim churches worldwide, and we have a statement of faith. I think most churches do, and our statement of faith includes this about the commission. It says, we believe that the gospel embraces the needs of the whole man, and that the church is therefore commissioned to preach the gospel to the world and to fulfill a ministry of healing and deliverance to the spiritual and physical needs of mankind. And I'm personally quite happy with that statement. We're here to preach the gospel, and in the name of Jesus to seek to meet the needs of mankind, both physical and spiritual. And as I thought about this, it's very unusual for me to put a little title to a sermon. I don't usually do that. But a little title came to me. It's nothing that you wouldn't be completely aware of already, but it's this: God provides. And as we look at this subject this morning for a little while, I want us to think in terms of God's provision. We've broken bread this morning. We've been reminded ourselves of God's provision. Jesus, the Lamb of God, provided by the Father. And God has made it so plain he's the God who provides. I just want to say something too about the letter, James's letter. We know James was the Lord's brother, and most of the scholars would say that it was he who wrote this. And then they would look at it and see what James said. But I want us to just remind ourselves this morning that this is a letter to the church from God, the Holy Spirit. He used James, but it's God speaking to us. And it's God's instruction to us. And that's always so important. People can get focused on the individual who wrote it, but let's remind ourselves this is God's instruction to us. So what does he say? He starts off with very simple: is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. That's an instruction from God. I had a lady who contacted me once. She was in a very difficult situation. And I just said to her, now pray. She was suffering. I said, pray. And I said, you may need to pray for more than 5 minutes. You may need to spend more than half an hour praying. You may need to spend more than an hour or two praying, You may need to come back to God for a few days in a row praying. You may need to pray for several months. But in the end, God will provide. And so we take that instruction, we put it into practice. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. The folk back at home, most of the folk back at home will be able to tell you that I sing a lot. They call me the singing pastor. And I also whistle a lot. And I tend to sing in the shower and at strange moments. And I really enjoyed your playing, Tom, and I'm just trying to get a hold of that myself. I play the guitar and I just thought it's time to try and master the ivories. And to sing praises, we just do. This is the instruction that's here. But then coming to today's topic, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So I just want to break it down and look at it very simply and just focus our thinking in that way. Is anyone among you sick? The Greek word that's translated in English as sick is a word that means feeble or infirm. And it relates not just to physical feebleness or infirmity, but it can relate to mental problems as well. In fact, it really speaks to the individual and says, if you are weak, if you are feeble or infirm in any part of your human makeup, you can be healed. God's instruction is, if you're feeble, if you're infirm, if you're weak in any part of your makeup, call for prayer. Let God make you whole. When Jesus was teaching in John's Gospel 10, you can read it, he said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And he wasn't talking there specifically about eternal life, although that's obviously encapsulated in the expression. He was talking about the here and now. And God's plan for us, his provision for us, is a life of abundance. And he wants us to be whole. And he wants us to thrive as we know him. And so God provides. And he provides specifically healing. So if anyone's sick, anyone's feeble, in any sense, here is what God says to do. Now I like to look at this in these terms. If you were poorly and you went to the doctor, he or she might listen to your chest or whatever they might do, and feel that within their capacity and within their kind of armoury of goodies, they can help you. And so they'll write a prescription. Is that right? A little prescription. Take that to the pharmacy. We used to say the chemist. It's a bit American, isn't it? Take that to the pharmacy. And get what they've got for you, and take this maybe 3 times a day for 7 days, whatever it is, or take half of one of these for the rest of your life. That doesn't sound very good to me. But they'll give you a prescription, and unless you're daft, you'll do what the doctor says. Fair? You'll do what the doctor says. Well, I like to look at this as God's prescription. This is what you should do if you're sick. It's not James speaking. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. So if you're infirm in any sense of that word, diseased, whatever it may be, this is what you should do. Now, I'm not saying there's no place for the medical profession. We'll touch on that in a minute or two. But first and foremost, this is what we should do. And when we read this, I want also to say to you that I've explained it relates to any infirmity, so I just want to emphasize it relates to any infirmity, whether small or big, whether acute or chronic. It relates to anything. So, for example, I would quite happily will tell you, if I sense symptoms of a cold coming on, I would say to my wife, darling, will you pray for me? I don't phone the elders because she's here. And she will pray for me, and vice versa. And I can't honestly remember the last time I had a cold. Now, it's not a very small thing. Some people say, oh, it's just a cold, don't worry, it'll be gone in a few days. But I think, well, if this sickness is coming, let's do what the doctor has said. Let's do what God has said. So I'll do that. Some folk, they tend to think, well, you know, it's just a back pain. I get that from time to time. And I would say, well, get some prayer instead. And so on. And then others will say, well, this is really serious. We better call for the elders. And I would say, don't wait till it's serious. Of course, some folk turn up in great trouble, don't they? In my church, I used to run healing services once a month on a Tuesday. Obviously, we pray for the sick at any time. We've seen some wonderful things by God's grace. And now, currently, once a month on a Monday, we are ministering to the sick. We open it in the daytime because we have a market in Christchurch on Monday. And there are many folk there, so we put the advert out and so on and so forth. Come and receive ministry. So sickness, essentially any form of infirmity. And sometimes we've got so used to a thing, we think, well, I can live with that. Well, you can live with that, but if you're infirm, God's instruction is get some prayer. That's what he said. And that's what I seek to do. Now, he says, call for the elders. Who then are the elders? Well, the scripture teaches in Timothy, of course, those that oversee in the church. The Greek word essentially means the older one. But we know within the church that the ministry or role of an elder is someone God's kind of brought out in front of us and shown us this person has a kind of leadership role, a spiritual oversight role, even a pastoral role, whatever it may be. We know we can spot the elders in the church, can't we? It's not too difficult. And here in this church you have that ministry among you. So you're able to call for the elders. It's not a case of, oh, we haven't got an elder in our church. I remember a young couple, I was asked to pray for them by grandma. And it was at a family function, and they couldn't have children. And so I said to grandma, well, do they know that you're asking me to pray for them? Because I can't just go out and pray for somebody. She said, oh yes, they'd like you to. And so I took them to one side, to a private place, and spoke to them. My first question was, does the minister in your church pray for the sick? And they said, oh no, he doesn't believe in that sort of thing. Because I was going to say to them, call for your elder. And I'll explain why in a moment. But he didn't go along with that kind of thing, so I felt completely at liberty to pray with them. And I remember clearly I just took their hands together, just prayed for them, that God would bless them with a child. And they were so touched by the Holy Spirit, I just felt I should withdraw and leave them to that private moment. And they'd been trying to have children for some time. And so I left them. And then a bit later on they came through, and the wife said to me, thank you. And just from my mouth instantly came, don't thank me. In a year's time, you'll be able to thank him for a little boy. And I thought, what have I said? Well, a year to the day, we had a phone call from grandma. And to show you that I'm human, my wife took the call. And I said to her, is it a boy? And she said, yes. And I said, hallelujah! In my kitchen. I was so excited. I was so excited that God had simply just taken my words and honoured them. As he provided. He provided. See, God's our provider, isn't he? So it's not James saying this. God's saying, why don't you come to me? I'm your provider. I'm your provider. Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. O mighty provider, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Meet our needs, Lord. Provide for us. God wants his people, I believe, to be healthy. I really believe that. The instruction to call for the elders has wrapped up in it some things that I want to just point out to you. First of all, if you call for the elders, it shows that you're obeying the word, which is really important for us to do. I've been thrilled this morning as I shared in your worship time to hear you contributing, some of you. And you're rich in the word. That's wonderful. And we do what the word says. This is what it says, so this is what we do. We call for the elders, and as we do, it denotes obedience to the word. It also denotes a kind of dependence on one another. I will call for prayer without any hesitation in my church, those in the eldership to come and pray with me if I need prayer. I depend on their ministry. I depend on God, but I need their ministry too. Calling denotes a humility. I need someone to pray for me. I can pray for myself and often do. I will be known even to lay hands on myself if there's no one around in the name of Jesus. But it shows a humility. I will do what you said, Lord. I will humble myself. And the calling for the elders shows a kind of corporate faith in the things of God and the word of God. We believe together. My elders and I, we believe together this wonderful truth. And we're in it together, just as you are. And so I'm really happy and glad to do what he says. And then it teaches us, it says that let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now I just want to stop for a moment and make a differentiation between this aspect of ministry of healing and the aspect which is more naturally associated with proclaiming the gospel. In Mark's gospel at the end, in chapter 16, after they'd been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel, it tells us that they went everywhere proclaiming the word of God. And it says that the Lord worked with them, confirming the word preached with signs following. And those signs, Hebrews 2 teaches us, included healing and miracles. And you'll find, very often, you will find that along with the proclamation of the good news of Jesus, God the Holy Spirit is really pleased to confirm what's preached with powerful evidences through healing. Acts 8 shows us Philip at work, and they believed when they saw and heard the demons coming out and the miracles that were performed. And it's quite a normal thing, it's quite a natural thing to see, along with the gospel being proclaimed, the evidence of the truth of that word by the accompanying signs that God brings. And particularly amongst those who don't know Jesus, God very much works to confirm the word with signs. And when I've ministered on mission, seen God do that as we proclaim the gospel to folk who don't know Jesus. But this is talking to the church, really. James is saying, now put your faith into action. You believe in God. I would think every one of you this morning would be able to say to me afterwards, I believe God provides. God's my provider. And I would say, yes, here it is. I believe it too. And so I'll put it into practice. Faith without works is dead. So I'll put it into practice. And we will pray. We will pray. We will seek prayer. And the prayer, it says, has to be a prayer of faith. Faith, if it's to be answered. I hope this won't upset anybody here. It's not my intention to upset anybody. But sometimes folk will pray, this Lord, do this Lord, if it be thy will. Now that's a very honourable kind of place to be in. We bow to the will of God. God is sovereign. But it's very difficult to be in faith when you've asked for something and then tack on the end, if it's what you want. Because that very statement is saying, I'm not sure that this is what you want. And if you're not sure it's what God wants, then how could you have faith? But what God wants is here. I want to provide for you, he says. If anyone's sick, call for prayer. This is God's word. I want to provide healing for my people. In the Old Testament, of course, we know in Exodus, he declares himself as, I am the Lord who heals you. This is God. And Jesus came just bringing the kingdom of Heaven has come in word and deed. And many of the miracles that Jesus did were related specifically to the making whole of somebody who's poorly in their body, or the driving out of demons where they've been possessing or oppressing somebody. And so it's to be a prayer of faith, and therefore we have to say to ourselves, I believe this is God's word, this is what God has said, so I'm going to do it. Because if he said this is what you're to do, he hasn't said it to tantalize me with the possibility. He said it that I may get into it and receive the provision. That's why he said it. I want you to be healed, therefore I'll tell you what my prescription is. And so he's done that. And so we want to pray the prayer of faith, and we anoint the sick, we rub oil on them, we smear them with oil, really to signify that we're obeying the word, because that's what it says, and we're not kind of in any religious bondage, but we will obey the word. We're doing it to signify that this is the presence of the Spirit of God is going to come on you. We're applying this oil because we're expecting and believing. And because it says that, therefore, we would have in our church, you probably have here, we have a small bottle of olive oil ready to anoint the sick. We're ready to be, because we're expecting people to call for prayer. And so we're ready to anoint them with oil. We are prepared to anoint them with oil. I have a phial of oil I take with me if I go out visiting or whatever. Somebody wants prayer and asks, I want to be ready. And you know, it just means, basically, it means to rub the oil. Some people mark the sign of the cross, that's fine. I just generally put a smear of oil, just one. But it's in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we do, seeking to follow and obey. Watching the time. Now, I want to say this about the oil. It's not a medicinal act. I heard something, I don't know if this would make you smile, but it made me smile at the time. I heard somebody trying to explain Paul's instruction to Timothy, where he said, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And the individual was a teetotaler and not at all happy with any form of alcoholic drink, which I fully understand. And so explained the scripture by me saying, well, he had to rub the wine on his tummy as a medicinal help. Well, I want just to point out this morning, this anointing with oil is not a medicinal act. There is, dare I use this word, there is no magic in the oil. There is obedience to God in the anointing with oil, as there's obedience to God in the calling of the elders to come and pray. And you know, elders worth their salt, and I'm sure they are in this church, if it's 10 o'clock at night or 2 in the morning, if there's a desperate situation, they would come and pray. We would come and pray. That's part of our function and role as we seek to serve God and minister to his people. Just going to truncate some of what I'm thinking because of time. Talks about this prayer of faith. Let's go back to this prayer of faith, verse 15. Faith. Faith in God for sure. Faith in his word. This is true. What shall I do if I'm sick? This is what you do. What shall I do if I'm happy? This is what you do. Sing psalms. What shall I do if I'm troubled, suffering? Pray. If I'm sick, call for the elders. So faith in his word and his promises. And to see that in this word is the revelation of God himself. Here am I, this is what I'm like. This is what God is really saying through his word here. This is what I'm like. I have a way of doing things, but I want to provide for you. But I'm wrapping it up in such a way that you can show your obedience and act in faith and be in relationship with me and with each other. You never call for the elders if you've fallen out with them, will you, for example? So it's not medicinal, there's no magical healing properties in the oil. It's an obedience to God, a symbolic act, consecration of the sick one, and of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we have faith in God and faith in his word. And we have faith that he's answering the prayer. This is very, very important. Faith speaks of a living and current communion with God. We live by faith. We're required to walk in faith. Faith sees the invisible and holds on to it. Faith sees God's way and his word and his way in his word and acts accordingly. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, where Jesus was teaching about moving mountains and praying and having faith, the expression he uses could be translated, it's a kind of present continuous concept, that he who is having faith and is believing will be seeing. So the idea is that when you have faith, you've been prayed for, you may not immediately find immediate relief, although I've seen that happen, but you're having faith in the God who's now heard. And so you can say, Lord, this is your instruction. I've done what you've said. The elders prayed for me, or the elders have prayed for me. And now, Lord, although the symptoms are still there, I am looking to see you bring to pass in my body the fulfillment of that request. I'm looking for it because I've obeyed your word and I am believing. So the elders have come and prayed for you, anointed you with oil, and you're remaining in faith. Very, very important to remain in faith. Some folk assume that when they're prayed for, they will feel something and it will suddenly be better. And that if that hasn't happened, therefore the prayer isn't answered. Well, I really want to assure you that's not the case. A miracle is sudden. A miracle is sudden. But a healing is very often a process of a few hours or a day or two. Or a sudden change in how it's been and a turnaround to come back up. I don't know if I'm making myself very clear. But that's how healing through the prayer of faith usually comes to pass. A sense of well-being, an awareness that God is answering prayer, and then a holding on in faith to see to come to pass the thing that's been prayed for. It also says, very important, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The idea of confessing to one another is a little bit alien to Protestantism. I have a chap in my church. I have a couple of chaps in my church with Catholic backgrounds. And one of them still likes to come to me and sometimes say, Ralph, I want to confess something to you. And I say, Peter, you don't really need to. You can confess direct to God. He said, but I'd like to. So I say, that's fine. And we sit down together and he tells me what's on his heart and mind and we add our faith together and we pray. But it's quite right in the ministry of healing that there are moments when you'll need to confess a fault. Not always, but there are moments. And sometimes that very act of obedience, remember this is God saying, God speaking, releases something that's there waiting. It also says in verse 15, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So again, the provision of God is a complete thing. Forgiveness and healing. Wholeness and what we need. God provides. And so sometimes that's an important part of what we do. I've just jotted this down. I don't know if it would help anybody this morning. But even little sins you may think are of no great consequence may need to be confessed. Questionable things, friendships that are questionable. Possibly sometimes people have indulged in seeking healing through alternative medicines or therapies. Healing you've sought, even some cases I've come across where they've sought healing through spiritists and hypnotists. Some wear copper bracelets and things like this, which are not faith, they're questionable things. And they need to be sorted out, maybe confessed, and prayed into as part of the ministry into to the individual for their healing. I'm going to finish with this. Just want to go back to remaining in faith. Very important. The scripture teaches us that the nature of faith is that we believe what's not seen. Faith is the substance of things not seen. The hope of things not seen. It's the substance of what's... We just can't see it. But faith is substance and seeing what's not visible with the naked eye. Now, it's very important for us as Christians that we have clear thinking about this. Very, very important. As we see what's not visible, we are not visualizing. We are not denying our symptoms. We are not denying what's there. What we're doing is we are keeping hold of God's promise and God's word. And you know, you can be prayed for and still be in pain. I quite often will say to somebody, how do you feel? Is that any different? And it's not unusual to say, yes, the pain's going, or yes, the pain's gone, or whatever it may be. It's also not at all unusual for them to say, no, I actually don't feel any different. And sometimes I've even found them say, well, actually, it hurts more now. And I just will say to them, well, now, don't worry about that. That's absolutely fine. We've asked God in the name of Jesus. And God has made this provision. Therefore, when we feel the pain or whatever it may be, we would say this. I would teach people to say this. Father, we've prayed. I'm thanking you for the answer. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking at the invisible God, and I'm looking to see you bring to pass in my life what I need. Now, this is all very fine if you're poorly and you need some help. If you're not poorly and you don't need any help, you might think, well, what's the point of this? Well, it's because as Christians, we minister to other people. We bring God's provision to them. And so we may be completely healthy and completely fine, and thank God if we are, but we need to understand this topic so that we can bring the whole gospel to people. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He wants to forgive you and give you the gift of eternal life. He also wants you to have an abundant life. And he has shown himself in scripture to be our healer. And therefore I will pray with people and seek to minister healing to them. So our eyes tend to focus on the sickness and on the symptoms, but our faith focuses on God and what he has promised. And our faith focuses on God and the prayer that we've offered as being answered. If I've asked God, then as far as I'm concerned, I've asked him. And he heard me, and because he said, this is what I'll do, then that's what he will do. And that's where my focus is going to be. When the healing starts, you'll notice improvements. You'll notice little changes. Now, when you notice the changes, they're not accidents, because you've been prayed for. And so as you notice the changes, it's a good practice, really, to say, thank you, Lord, I feel a bit better this morning, or I'm a bit stronger, whatever it may be. I don't need to take the pill so much. The levels have changed, whatever it may be. My blood pressure's come to normal. Whatever it may be, or is coming to normal, thank God for his answer, that he's answering. Until you see the thing complete. Just close with a little story. True story. A man who was an electrician. He phoned me up one day. He had bought another electrician's business, and the other electrician had given me a quotation for our church building to be rewired. And so, being a good businessman, Peter phoned me up, having bought that business, and looking back through the paperwork, he said, "Oh, we gave a quote to you X number of months ago. Would you like us to do that work?" And I said, at the moment, no, thank you. And we weren't in a financial place at the time to do the job. And then one of my church members was in an electrician's buying some wire. And just in passing, he spoke to the chap behind the counter about needing to have the church rewired. And a man was there who heard him say it. And he said, well, would you let us quote? And it turned out to be somebody who belonged to Peter's company. And we were just at the place where we wanted the job done. And so Peter came back on the scene. And I remember one of the things I try and do is always pay bills quickly. It's a good witness. Go and see the individual with the check. Gives me an opportunity to share the gospel quite often. And I went into Peter's house, from which he ran his business. And his wife was there. And as she got up, she knocked some papers over, and I said, oh dear. And she said, oh yes, I'm having one of those days. And I said, what's the problem? And she told me her grandson just been rushed into hospital with meningitis. So I said, I'm the minister from the church. Would you let me pray with you for your grandson? And she said, yes. So I took her hands and just prayed. And of course, the little boy, God answered, because God's so kind. And they were so impressed with the fact that the prayer was answered. Neither of them churchgoers. They invited us round to dinner. In the course of the conversation, Peter said, I've had this bad back for years and years and years. I wish you could heal me. I said, well, I can't heal you, but I know someone who can. I said, if you'll let us pray with you. He said, yes. So I said, we're going to pray for you in a special prayer language. Is that all right? He said, yes. He must have thought I was speaking in Latin. I don't know. So my wife and I prayed for him. And of course, God healed his back. But he kept going to the doctors and getting his repeat prescriptions and storing them in the drawer just in case. After a few months, he told his doctor. And the doctor said, oh, perhaps I should send my other patients to this minister. To cut a very long story short, as a result of God touching his life in that way, Peter became a Christian. Isn't that wonderful? And you've heard about healing. It's here in the book. It's here for the church. James speaks for the church. This is how we do it in the church. But there are folk out there that need you to bring Jesus to them. Yes, the gospel of forgiveness and salvation, but also the good news that God wants to make people whole, wants to bring relief to their suffering and healing for their body. Now, I could invite you forward for prayer for healing. I'm not going to do that because you need to call for the elders. I will perhaps this evening after I've preached offer to pray for the sick as part of the gospel sermon and service. But if you want healing, call for your elders. They'll anoint you with oil and pray over you the prayer of faith. If you sin, you'll be forgiven. And if you need to confess something to one of them, you can just confess it. Because this is God's prescription for his church. God bless you.